Welcome back to the program. I'm Ray Suarez. Today we're talking about new research from the American Academy of Pediatrics regarding male circumcision. Joining us now by phone is Ronald Goldman, the Executive Director of the Circumcision Resource Center in Boston. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm sure you read the AAP report with great interest, and I'm going to guess that it didn't go nearly far enough for you.
Well, first I want to commend them for revisiting the issue and taking the position that circumcision is not recommended, and also for calling for the pain medication. I think those are steps forward on this issue. But I think there is more to be said, and particularly what we are focusing on is the tissue that's removed is a part of the discussion that sometimes gets overlooked. But fortunately, there's new research now that has been published and actually has been referenced in the AAP report, research on just what is this foreskin and what is it from an anatomical point of view. And what these researchers, a study published in British Journal of Urology, found was that the foreskin comprises about one half of the erogenous tissue on the penile shaft. And that shocks a lot of people because we tend to want to minimize what's cut off here, and actually it's a lot more than we would suspect. And they found that the foreskin has functions, including protecting the head of the penis, and that it's comprised of unique zones of several kinds of specialized nerves that are important to optimum sexual sensitivity. And an adult circumcised male wouldn't recognize this, having not had sexual experience with the foreskin. But there's also a study in the literature which is of men who were circumcised as adults, and they found that after circumcision there was a significant decrease in sexual sensitivity and sexual pleasure. So I think that's a significant component of the discussion that needs attention.
How important is the sort of medical ethics side of the question, the lack of informed consent, the idea that by visiting this procedure on an infant child, you're sort of making decisions on their behalf that are irreversible and perhaps wouldn't be chosen by the person themselves?
That's very important. That very point was brought up by the Australasian Association of Pediatric Surgeons. They reported in 1996, quote, "We do not support the removal of a normal part of the body unless there are definite indications to justify the complications and risk which may arise. In particular, we are opposed to male children being subjected to a procedure which, had they been old enough to consider the advantages and disadvantages, may well have opted to reject the operation and retain their pupus," which is another term for foreskin. So I think the ethics is, I think, where the discussion on circumcision is moving now that I think the medical debate is pretty much closed with the issuance of this latest report. And with the ethics concern raises the question, as you referred to, which is the pediatrician's responsibility or the obstetrician, whoever happens to do the surgery, who they're responsible to. And the Committee on Bioethics of the American Academy of Pediatrics does state quite clearly that the pediatrician's responsibility is to the patient, who is the child. So there appears to be a conflict here in terms of doing what's in the child's interest as opposed to what the parent may request. And let me add that one of the difficulties here is the communication of information. We hear from mothers that call our office that are very upset that they weren't given proper information. They weren't told about the harm associated with circumcision. They weren't told about the trauma associated with circumcision. And if they've watched it, they witnessed the trauma, and actually some of them feel traumatized themselves from seeing what the infant has to go through, which includes a trembling panic, a high-pitched cry, gasping, choking, sometimes withdrawing in shock. It's a very emotional experience to witness a circumcision. So there are a lot of these factors that need to be considered. It's a complex issue.
I don't know if you were listening earlier in the program. We got a call from a Moyle in Philadelphia who really didn't give much room for interpretation to the order to circumcise. But are there some Jews who are reevaluating, perhaps redesigning the circumcision ritual?
There's a whole range of degree of practice in the Jewish community. There's a whole range of interpretation on a lot of issues. A lot of Jews don't keep kosher or follow other commandments. And what's happening now is Jews are also questioning circumcision. Articles questioning circumcision have appeared in Jewish publications. We have records of hundreds of Jews who either have not circumcised a son or would not choose to circumcise a future son. So I think that's something that is getting more attention in the Jewish community.
Ronald Goldman, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Ronald Goldman is the executive director of the Circumcision Resource Center and author of Circumcision, The Hidden Trauma and Questioning Circumcision, A Jewish Perspective. He spoke to us by phone from Boston.